He's still our hope. Isaiah chapter 65 this morning. The book of Isaiah chapter 65 this morning. Isaiah 65 this morning. Thinking about all that's going on in the world right now. All that's happening around us and the trials that are before us and the wars and things that are just happening all around us. I'm thankful that God has people that will encourage in the Lord. As you, we talked about a little bit this morning in Sunday school, looked in 1 Samuel, looked at David, and the Bible says David had to encourage himself in the Lord. All the people thought of stoning him, and David had to encourage himself in the Lord. Well, I'm thankful that we have the people of God to help encourage one another in the Lord this week. This week has been a rough week and some things going on, and I'm thankful there's a man of God. We've only met a few times, but we sure do like him and love him in the Lord. And his family, and he texts me, he texts Brother Shepherd all the time and sends us encouraging things. And he sent me something this week out of Isaiah 65, but I'm looking because of that. It caused me to look through this chapter. Look at verse number 12 of Isaiah chapter 65. Therefore I will number you to the sword, and ye shall all bow down to the slaughter. Because when I called, ye did not answer. When I spake, ye did not hear, but did evil before my eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. Believe the Lord is giving a warning here. Yes, this is written to the nation of Israel, but I believe it's true. And I'm going to show you that this is not only to the nation of Israel, but it's also to us. Preaching this morning on don't wait. Don't wait, because he says there's coming a time when I've called, you did not answer. I spake, you did not hear, but you did evil before my eyes and did choose that wherein I delighted not. And he says at the beginning that he'd take the sword and the bow and slaughter them down. Don't wait this morning. Father, Lord, you know who'd be here this morning. You know who this message would need to be for. I believe it's for all of us here this morning. God, those that are here, those that weren't able to make it. God, that we all need the Word of God this morning. Help us not to put it off, God. Whether we're saved and God got sin in our life, God, or we're lost on the road to hell, Father, help us not to wait. I pray and help for your touch this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen. Here he's given a warning to the nation of Israel, but also to us. He says here, verse number 1, I'm going to read just for context to show you. He said, I am sought of them that ask not of me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. So we know here, read this verse of scripture now. We've talked about this before, that there are three distinct persons or three distinct people in the Bible that God deals with and that God has mentioned in the Bible. We know the Jew, and then we have the Gentile, but also in the New Testament, we also have the church. And so when you're looking at Scripture, you need to make sure, is this stuff written to the Jews, stuff written to the Gentiles and to the church, or how is this written? And so you need to make sure that you're in context, reading it in context. Now, I'm not saying that you can't preach some things that are written to the Jews, but you just want to make sure that you're not deceiving anybody or that I'm misdirecting some. And so, but I want you to see this morning. I believe this is written not only to the Jew, but to us, because he's talking to them about a nation that was not called by his name. He called the nation of Israel. He set his name upon the nation of Israel. And so he's given the nation of Israel a warning here about who is going to step up and do the responsibility that the Jews want. But anyway, we're talking about this morning now. Don't wait. Number one, how long do you think he will call? Look at verse number 4. He says here in verse number 4, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things in their vessels, which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. And these are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, but will recompense, even recompense into their bosom, your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, saith the Lord, which have burned incense upon the mountains and blaspheme me upon the hills. Therefore will I measure their former work into their bosom. Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it, so will I do to my for my servant's sake, that I will not destroy them all. There is a time that he will call. He is dealing with people even now. But people continue. I looked at the wrong verses here. I'm sorry. Go up into chapter 64. I knew that didn't seem right. Verse chapter 64 here. Verse 4. He says, for the since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, nor hath the eye seen, O God, besides thee, what he hath prepared for them that wait for him, waiteth for him. So he says here in verse 4, since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, besides thee, what he hath prepared for them that wait for him. And so that's what we're doing. We're waiting for his return. We're waiting to see what he has prepared for us. And so he goes on, thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in the ways. Behold, they are wroth, for we have sinned. Then those is continuance, and we shall be saved. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, and we are the clay, and thou art the potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. And so he says here, he's going to call upon, he's prepared us for those of us that are waiting for him. He's prepared for those that have called upon thy name. He said, there is none that calleth upon thy name. Listen, each one of us in here this morning, whether we want to admit it or not, whether we think about it or not long enough, there is none of us that we're really searching. So every one of us in here, at some point, somebody invited us to church. Somebody brought us in. Whether it was our parents that brought us into church. Whether it was a friend that invited you to come to church. He said, there's none that calleth upon the name of the Lord. Hey, listen, we are all, he's called. He continues to call. Most people don't answer. Most people are not even paying attention. He said, there's none that calleth upon the name of the Lord. It takes somebody else working together. That's our responsibility as Christians. How long do you think he'll call? My kids don't remember, but the rest of us in here will remember. You know, when we were all growing up, and those of us I had phones before ordered, but you know, you call somebody without an answering machine, what happened? The phone would ring and ring and ring. I know it's hard to believe, but when we were growing up, there wasn't, most people didn't have answer machines when I was real young. And when you called, that phone would ring and ring and ring and ring. And if nobody's there, they're not going to pick up. You know, now everybody's got
Now a phone rings, what, three times, two or three times when you call them on cell phone, it goes to voicemail, or so it has, voicemail says, the voicemail, this person has not set up their voicemail. Have a nice day, or something like that. But when I think of it, I think about when I hear these verses talking about the Lord calling, and how long will He call? It's just like what we used to do. We'd pick up that phone, and it would ring, and ring, and ring. But if nobody ever picks up, hey, that's the way the Lord is. He's going to continue to call. But there will come a day and a time, the Bible says, there in verse number 12 there in chapter 65, that He'll say, okay, enough's enough. So some people think, oh, that God's just going to continue to call. I guess they think He's going to call forever and ever, but that's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says there's a time coming that's going to be cut off. He said, I've called, you've not answered. He said, I've spoken, and you've not heard my voice. How long do you think the Lord's going to continue to let this earth continue on? How about somebody lost? How long do you think that it'll be before God says, all right? The Bible says, yeah, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But He also says there comes a time when people, He's done with them. Some will say, preacher, I believe it's on somebody's breathing. God's not done with them. They haven't read the Bible, because the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, He'll give people over to a reprobate mind. Reprobate means there's no coming back from that. God will say, I'm done with you. You can tell God no enough times. God will say, okay. God will say, okay. Listen, sitting in church, on a church pew, doesn't make you a Christian. I go stand in an operating room. That's not going to make me a doctor. See, a lot of people think, well, I go to church, preacher. I go to this church, or I go to that church, or I do this and I do that. That doesn't make you a Christian. It doesn't make you born again. It doesn't make you saved. Some people are Sunday Christians. Some people are, I guess, Saturday Christians, if you want to believe that, if they want to believe that church is supposed to be on Saturday. Maybe a Friday. I don't know. That don't make you a Christian. Making you a Christian is when you follow in His Word and you continue in His Word. He says, then you are my disciples indeed. When He calls, did you pick up? When He called, did you pick up? Did you listen to what He said? Hey, don't trust in your own self. He says in verse number 6 of 64, He said, but we are all as an unclean thing. But preacher, they were a good person. There's none good, no, not one. In and of ourselves, apart from Christ, there is nothing good about us. There is nothing good about us. We are fleshly. We are wicked. Even when you're trying to serve God. Paul said, I'm going to paraphrase, but Paul said, even when you're trying to serve God, he said, that I would do, I do not. That I would not, that's what I do. He said, that Paul said, he says, I don't want to sin. I want to live godly and righteously and holy. He said, but my flesh, it's a constant battle. He said, that's what sometimes flares up and gets in your way. That's why we can't trust in religion. That's why we can't trust in baptism, church membership. It's in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Some people are just Sunday Christians. Some people are Christmas Christians. Some people are Easter Christians. Some are Lent Christians. It's amazing to me how, and I'm not trying to be mean this morning, but as we saw, it's amazing the people that'll abstain from meat because somebody tells them something, or some of the same people that go out and commit fornication and go out and be drunkards the rest of the time, but somehow abstaining from meat is supposed to do them some kind of good. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just letting you know. It's amazing the people that claim to be Christians and they don't know what the Bible says. God told us in the New Testament that all meat. That we can eat anything we want to. All meat is acceptable. And if you don't want to eat, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Paul said, he that eateth meat, let him do it. He that don't want to eat meat, I'm paraphrasing again. I can show you the verse. But then don't. But to think that because you said, what time of year you're going to abstain from some meat, that that's somehow making you a better Christian. True Christianity is 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's not something you do on Sunday. It's not something you do at Christmas. It's not something you do here or there. It's not something that you just, when the pastor comes around, it's not as bad here. People here are just what they are. People in the South, boy, there's some hypocrites. They'll see the preacher coming, they'll throw their cigarette away. I've heard preachers say they'd be out at Walmart, and before one of their members see them, they'd see them running around in a pair, dressed immodestly. Some of the ladies, and then they just continue to shop. Well, then a little bit later, they'll realize that that person has spotted the preacher, and they're hiding from the preacher because they know that they're dressed immodestly. How long do you think God's going to call you? How long do you think God's going to continue to deal with this earth? I bet you know those people thought that Noah had lost his mind. Noah, you're crazy. As things are, the Bible says that the same thing they said to Noah. As things were from the beginning, they'll continue to the end. And when Noah walked in that ark, 7 days later, God shut that door. And then the rain came. What do you think is going to happen here? I'll tell you what, if you're here this morning, you're lost, and you just refuse to get saved, you just don't want to believe what God's Word says, you don't want to believe, you think I'm crazy, that's fine and dandy. According to God's Word, I believe I'm getting out of here soon anyway. Anything I have, when I'm gone, you're more than welcome to it, because you better enjoy it, because you're not going to get another chance after we're out of here. Tribulation's coming our way. He even predicts it here. Listen to the Old Testament. Here, you'll see it. Let me move on. How long do you think he'll call? Do you think he's going to continue to let things continue on? He said no. He said he's working on us and those of us that are saved. Isaiah says, but thou, O Lord, thou art our Father. I know this is hard with some things we've been through. God knows best. God knows best in our lives. Thou art the our Father, and we are the clay. Thou art the potter, and we are the work of thy hand. Sometimes things that he's doing in our life, we're thinking, Lord, why? Why am I going through this? Death of a loved one? Broke down transmission unexpectedly? I don't understand it. I don't claim to understand everything. But as we preached the other day, all things work to the good to them who are called according to his purpose. Sometimes things happen in your life. But God's working it for a reason. Even right now, man, let me just be honest with y'all this morning. You know, I've been these last couple months with everything going on and the church going on. I've been a little bit discouraged myself. But I just decided this today, just like David did. I'm just going to encourage myself in the Lord. And I'm going to let the people of God encourage me. If we stay here for another 5 years, and we've only got a handful, I've still done what God's called me to do. I was kind of discouraged because the numbers are down from where we've been in these. We were blessed. I mean, I can't lie. And they weren't saved. The Bible says in the book of John, they went out from among us because they were not of us. Most of those people that came in here and left, I won't say all of them, but most of those people that came in and have left, they weren't really saved. Saved people, you know what? Preaching, it's meant to convict. Preaching's meant to do something. When you preach, truly preach God's word, it's meant to bring you to the point, to a conclusion where you have a decision to make. And if you're lost, am I going to get saved, or am I going to walk out lost? If you're saved, it's meant to bring you to the point where, hey, am I going to continue to live godly and holy? Am I going to let this word work in my life? Just like Brother Bowles, when Brother Bowles was here, preached those series of messages on add to your faith and those things add to your faith. Hey, it's meant to bring you to a decision. That's what real preaching is supposed to do. Those people that have been in here the last 2.5, almost 3 years now, that are not here, they made the decision. Most of them was to remain lost. That's the decision they made. Time after time, I watched. I could name, I don't know how many, but I could name, I could probably name at least 20 right now that I've watched under conviction that are gone and not here anymore. How long will God call? I don't know. How long, number two, how long do you think he'll wait? He says here in verse number 1 of chapter 65, this is when I was coming to this, I'm sorry. I am sought of them that ask not of me. I am found of them that sought me not. See, the Jews, people, they think, well, the Jews are still that way. They think just because they're of the lineage of Abraham and of Moses, therefore they're good to go. They think that, I guess the most of them thinking they're not going to die and go to hell because they're the apple of God's eye. They're God's people. But God said, I'm salt of them that ask not of me. I wasn't looking for the Lord. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. A people that provoke me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificeth in gardens and burn incense upon altars of bricks. Which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things in their vessels. He said, listen, he's waiting. He's dealing with people. What people are, they've got their religion. He said, I've spread out my hands. I'm waiting. Have you ever done that to somebody? As parents, most of us probably have. Spread your arms out to your kid and they won't have a hug and they look at you. I'm not hugging you. It's disappointing. How do you think God feels when he's waiting for you to get right with him, whether it's through salvation or just living right? This altar is not a one-time deal. This altar is not a one-time, well, I come up here and get saved and I'm good, that's it. As other preachers have said, I didn't just repent once, I continue to. When sin gets in my life, when things get in my life, when weights, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, it's setting aside those weights and sins that do so easily beset us. Sometimes there's things that get in your life. Sometimes it may be your job. And you got to cut it off. Sometimes you got to switch jobs and say, you know what? It's better for me to be in church than it is to be skipping out because of my job. I don't think we got anybody in here, but I'm just letting you know. Sometimes it may be a house. We know what that's like. We've been house poor. That's one thing we learned. We did not want to. When we come to Kansas, we said we are not being house poor. When we come out here, I want to be able to do things with my kids. I want to be able to have fun. I want to know that we've been here now for 3 years, just over 3 years, and I can actually look at my mortgage and how much is left, and we've actually paid some stuff. I've paid it down. And we're fixing two in the next two payments to go under $30,000 left on our house. And it feels good to know that that we ain't got but a little over $30,000 in debt. God says, he said, I've waited. He said, I've spread out my hands all the day unto rebellious people. And how are they rebellious? Which walk not in the way that was good. They didn't walk according to the Bible.
They see, there's a lot of people think, well, I'm preacher, I don't care what you say. And I don't care what the Bible says. I'm going to serve God the way that I want to. Is it according to the Bible? Well, no. But I believe that God is a God of love. And He's going to have to accept me the way I am. That's not the way it works. God didn't accept me. He did accept me as the prodigal son, as somebody that came to Him as a lost man, but He expected me to change. Now listen, you can be saved and still cuss. You can be saved and still make mistakes like that. But if you truly want to get it right with God, if you're struggling with sin in your life, if you're struggling looking at things you shouldn't look at, if you're struggling with tithing, that's what the altar's for. That's why there's a place to do business with God. That's why you should not only have an altar here at church, but you should have an altar in your house. The Bible says, Jesus said, you should have a prayer closet. There's nothing wrong with having a heaven somewhere in your house that you just go away from the world. If y'all have not seen the movie War Room, y'all watch it. There is some place, there is a church or a production thing in Georgia where they're trying to produce some decently godly movies. Now, it's not all everything I agree with. They don't necessarily have what I would agree with godly music, but they have godly things. That's the ones that produce Fireproof and Courageous. They produce the movie War Room. If you've never seen it, the Bible talks about that you should have a prayer closet. And it is a war room. It is a place where you need to go in there and deal with the issues you have. If you're having sin issues, you need to take them before God and deal with them. And if it has to be a little room, a closet where you go, then so be it. It can just be your bedroom. Maybe your wife is there, your husband's there, and you say, I'm going to do some praying. And you go in your bedroom and just get beside the bed. You shut the door, shut everything out. Then so be it. If that's your prayer closet, maybe it's somewhere in the basement. It could be somewhere in the woods. But there's a brother I've talked about before, Brother Mike Qualls, and I love him. I love him, and I love hearing him preach. He's one of my favorite top five preachers. And Brother Qualls talked about his prayer room or his prayer closet. Wasn't really a closet. It was a spot on the land that they owned that he would go up into the woods and just get along with God. And he had a tree trunk that was down there that had fell, and that was his altar. And he'd just get along with God in the woods and pray. That's what we got to do. We got to spend some time alone with God. Each and every one of us. I've told you before that every one of you in here has got one. This church is always open. You got a key. If you need to come pray on the altar, that's what it's for. I don't want to think, well, it's only for Sunday morning, Sunday night, Tuesday nights, or special things. This altar, if you need somewhere to get along with God, maybe you got a lot going on at your house or whatever, to get a lot of distractions. Maybe you're prone to getting down to praying, and you look around and say, well, this carpet needs vacuuming, or this hardwood needs scrubbing. And so you just need to get a place alone with God. The altar's here. Come to the church. All I ask is, if I happen to be here and you need to pray, by all means, you come in and ask, and I'll leave. If it's a lady and it needs to be alone. If I'm here alone and a lady comes by herself, please ask, and I will leave. But any other time, I mean, it's open. That's what it's here for. But He's waiting. God is waiting. He said, I spread out my hands all the day long to rebellious people. He loves us, even when we were living in rebellion. He said, which walketh not in the way that is good, but after their own thoughts. You know, have you ever met people like that? I have. Listen, I'm not trying to offend you. I try to give you the Bible according to the Word of God. I dealt with a guy one time. I showed him in the Bible what the requirements for a preacher are, because he claimed his mama was a preacher. And the Bible says that to be a bishop, that's a preacher. I give you the scripture to back it up. The bishop there in 1 Timothy is the definition of a preacher. He said, to be a preacher, you must be the husband of one wife. And this man said, I don't care what the Bible says. My mama's just as good a preacher as anybody else. I said, not according to that Bible. I don't care what your feelings are. I don't care what you believe in your heart. Does it line up with that Bible? If what you believe doesn't line up with that Bible, it's your opinion.
People ask all the time, they'll say, preacher, what's your opinion on this? I'll say, I'll give you what the Bible says. Here's what the Bible says. My opinion doesn't matter. What does the Bible say? Now, there are some things where I always talk about, you know, gray area, whatever. You know, I believe the Bible does not say for sure, but according to what the Bible teaches, I don't believe animals have souls. Because God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I don't believe animals have souls. They don't go to heaven. Are there animals in heaven? That's where me and this other guy got in discussion. He tried to tell me there was no animals in heaven because they don't have a soul. I didn't say there weren't animals in heaven. I don't know what's in heaven, but I know that according to the Bible, there's animals in heaven. We already talked about this. There's horses that we're riding back. Oh boy, I like horses. So there's some, at least horses in heaven. I don't know if there's cats in heaven. I don't know if there's dogs in heaven. I always think about the fact that some of these animals that go extinct, I kind of wonder if when the God makes a new heaven and a new earth, if he's not going to bring back all these things that man has wiped out. Because if he's making a new heaven and a new earth, the Bible says, we're getting ready to get into it, but he says the lion's going to eat hay as the oxen. So if that's the case, then why wouldn't, and they're not going to be any killing and a harm, then it ain't going to be no big deal if God brings back the brontosaurus or the Tyrannosaurus Rex. Could you imagine having that pet Tyrannosaurus Rex? You won't even have to say it about your mama and papa anymore, actually living during that time and having their pet. You may have, I don't know. We don't know. I have not seen here, have not heard it, and in the heart of man that thinks about it. I don't know. He's making a new heaven, new earth. I believe that he may put everything that he's put back, he's going to put it back that way, the way it was. Without sin this time, there'll be no sin. There'll be no death, no corruption. I don't know. Who knows? I may be able to keep peace in the new heaven, new earth. And you know what? I won't have to wear gloves or veil. They won't sting you at all. I don't know.
But I know that if you're not saved this morning, you won't be there. Because that's Bible. I got to move on. He said, the people that provoke me to anger continually to my face. What do? They sacrifice in gardens. They got little things made up to these statues. And they're sacrificing. They're burning incense to these things. He said, burneth incense. He said, all these things is vain, which remain among the graves. They're praying to dead people and all these other things. You got religions all across this world praying to dead gods, and it ain't doing a thing to them. They lodge in monuments. He said that which eateth swine's flesh and broth of abomination things is in their vessels. I believe it goes along with that. He said that which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. Have you ever met anybody like that? That they think they're God's everything. Man, I just God's servant. These are a smoke in my nose and a fire that burneth all day. Behold, it is written before men, I will not keep silence, but I will recompense, even recompense into their bosom your iniquities and iniquities of your father together, saith the Lord, which have burned incense upon the mountains and blasphemed me upon the hills. Therefore will I measure their former work into their bosom. It drives me crazy. The people, I don't care whether the Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, it drives me crazy when somebody claims the name of Christ, cussing's bad enough, but they'll say GD this and GD that. They'll curse the Lord's name and take God's name in vain. Lord, forgive me. It just drives me crazy how the Bible says they draw near me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Anybody that can say the filth and disgust, I'm saying it as a man that was lost that did the same thing. Oh, I love God. I love the Lord. Yep. And they turn around and say those filthy things. I work with some. I'm not trying to be mean. I work with some. They're good. They're good what their religion is. They're just like all the rest of them.
And they'll cuss, they'll drink, they'll use God's name in vain. They'll go to church once a month, if that. And they'll claim that, yeah, I'm going to go to heaven. Well, why do you think you're going to go to heaven? Because I'm a good Lutheran. I'm a good Methodist. What does the Bible say? I know I get this up. Preacher, church is full of hypocrites. I know they are. Baptist churches are full of them just as much as the rest of them. You don't have to be a hypocrite, though, this morning. You come to this altar and ask Jesus to save you. We're not perfect, but we are to be sinless. Sinless, not sinless. You're not going to be perfect in this life, but you should be different. If you make a mistake, help. I'm sorry. Be willing to admit it. If you cuss in front of somebody, if you say something inappropriate, mate, I'm telling you what, you'll know it. When God gets a hold of you, listen, I used to tell some of the nastiest and dirtiest jokes. I'm not bragging about it. But even when I tell one that may be borderline, the Holy Spirit convicts me and says, you're a preacher. You shouldn't be saying that kind of thing. I'm sorry if I make mistakes. I'm human just like everybody else. But we are to be. He said you're supposed to continue. If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Are you continuing in his word? Number three, how long do you think he'll call? How long do you think he'll wait? Number three, how long do you think he'll allow the evil? Go over to chapter 66. I got to hurry up. Chapter 66 says, verse number 1, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye built unto me? He asked the nation of Israel that. Because the house of Israel, the temple tabernacle, the temple that they built, had been destroyed. Where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Hey, somebody that heeds his word. He said, listen, he said, he that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. Have you ever met somebody that's, you know, we got a lot of psychos in our day and time. They'll just kill animals randomly. God said, hey, he that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. There's people that imagine that they're killing somebody while they're doing it. They get so mad that they'll do it. He that sacrifices the lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. I mean, these are some wicked things, but that's the way people are. He that offer an oblation is as if he offers swine's blood. Somebody say, well, I'm going to give to church, but man, they're doing it grudgingly. That's the way God said. He said, there's people that are coming and offering an oblation, sacrifice to God, but they're doing it in such a grudgingly spirit. He said, it's basically like they're offering swine's blood, which is an abomination to the law and to the Jewish people. He that burneth incense is as if he blessed an idol. That's what they're in their mind. Well, I'm going to do it, but I'm just doing this to an idol. He said, yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before my eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not. God's got a way of doing things. Don't make excuses for people. To me, it's easier to say, what does the Bible say? When somebody asks your feelings, what's your feelings about same-sex marriage, preacher? What does the Bible say? The Bible says it's wrong. Then they're arguing with God. They're not arguing with me. Though some will, they'll still say, well, I don't care what you say. I didn't say it. The Bible said it. What's your ideas of about relations before marriage? The Bible says it's sin. It's wrong. You shouldn't do it. Well, I don't think there's nothing wrong with. I won't even say some of the filthy things I've heard in my 21 years of being saved. Women are not cars. They're not barns. They're not all this other garbage that I've heard people compare things to, men or women. How long do you think he's going to wait for you to make a move? How long do you think? Listen, it's only a short time. Everything that the Bible says must come to pass is fulfilled. All we're waiting on is the trumpet. As we even sang this morning, we're waiting for that trumpet call, that final trumpet. Everything. The Bible says all that is the fullness of the time of the Gentiles. Whatever that time is, we don't know. There's no definite answer to when that ends. And when that happens, God calls us, the church, out of here. Those of us that are saved, we're out of here. Those that remain, that have heard the truth, they'll not be given another chance. The Bible says He'll send strong delusions, just like He's talking about here, that they'll believe the lie, and they'll believe that lie that Satan is God, as he tries to present himself that way. They'll believe all that garbage. And the time the Gentiles is done, and the time that God goes back to the Jews begins, per se. Because at that time, there'll be 144,000 Jewish men, the Bible says, that'll go throughout the world preaching the gospel to those that have not heard it. Only to those that have not heard it. You know what gives me real hope, though? Because when you read that verse in context in the book of Revelation, when it talks about those 144,000 Jewish men that go throughout the world preaching the gospel, it says, and behold, a great multitude which no man could number stood there with them. So sometime during the tribulation, though many people will still turn against God, there'll still be a lot of people that in the tribulation that'll be saved. Because he says that in the book of Revelation, the great multitude which no man could number. When you read that in context, that's not talking about those in heaven that are already there. This is talking about those that came through the tribulation. Some of them will pay with their life. They'll be beheaded. But there'll be a great multitude saved in the tribulation. Those that have not heard the gospel. Those that have not been given the truth. Hey, there's places like China where they don't allow the gospel. North Korea, where they're doing everything they can to try to get the word of God in there. Those Muslim countries that have forbidden and outlawed God's word. There'll be Jewish men that'll go through there and preach the gospel. Some of them will lose their life. But I believe, as the Bible says, there'll be a great multitude saved. How long do you think he's going to allow evil? Hey, it's coming to an end fast. He said there'll be rumors of wars and wars. There'll be earthquakes in diverse places. I'm 39 years old. Maybe I don't remember y'all are out here. Maybe it's just because of the news. When y'all were younger, did y'all remember earthquakes almost every week, at least one a month in Kansas? Because that's what it feels like. There's about one a month at least in Kansas now. There's earthquakes in North Carolina now. That kind of stuff didn't happen. I've heard people say, well, it's the fracking. Hey, even if it is the fracking, God knew it was going to happen. I don't know. But he said there'd be rumors of wars. There'd be famine. Hey, we're on the verge right now. I'm not somebody telling you to stock up years worth of food and stuff like that, because I believe we're out of here anyway. But if you're not, you ought to get some just in case, because they're already predicting, there's already been a major drought in California, and a lot of the crops for several years in a row are catching up as far as there's not coming the food that California produces. All this is everything that the Bible said would be in the last days is coming to pass. Everything's fulfilling right before our eyes. All we're waiting on is that trumpet call and beginning those 7 years of tribulation. If you're here and you're not saved this morning, you better get right, because it could be today. It could be today. How long do you think he'll allow evil? It's only just a short amount of time. It's only a certain amount of time. God's calling us out of here. There'll be 7 years of tribulation. There'll be 3.5 years during that time of peace, like the world's never seen. And then there'll be 3.5 years of total destruction, like you've never seen before. Number four, how long do you think he'll be rejected? Flip back over to chapter 65, verse number 13. How long do you think he's going to be rejected? The Bible says, therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, my servants shall eat, but ye shall be hungry. Behold, my servants shall drink, but ye shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but ye shall be ashamed. There's coming a time. These people think they're living it up. They're having a great time right now. They're rejecting God. When we're going to I'm going to read and preach next week on some people that just want to go to hell. That's the way they are. They don't care. Behold, my servant.
Behold, my servant shall sing for joy of heart, but ye shall cry for sorrow of heart. And ye shall howl for vexation of spirit. Ye shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen. For the Lord God shall slay thee and call his servants by another name. That he who blesseth himself on the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. And he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth. Because the former troubles are forgotten. And because they are hid from my eyes. Here's what this brother sent me this week. Verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. And the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. Think about this. My mind has trouble grasping this. Because I think about my lost loved ones. I think about those that have died already. But according to God's word, if you're here this morning and you're lost, we won't remember you if you go to hell. All those people that we know of right now, even those animals that we love that are passed on and don't have a soul, and if you, whatever you believe, we won't even remember them. He said, all the former things, we won't remember those of us that are in the new heaven and the new earth. But those people that are in hell, that'll be one day pulled out of hell and stand before the great white throne of judgment. See, God doesn't wipe our memories till the new heaven and new earth is made. Because we'll be there at that day of judgment. Maybe even giving a testimony against them. God, I gave them the gospel. I don't know. I don't know what it'll be. But forever and ever in that lake of fire, the Bible says, which burneth forever and forever, those people will have their memories. They'll remember every time somebody handed them a tract. They'll remember every time that somebody gave them the gospel. They'll remember their lost, they'll remember their saved loved ones that tried to warn them. But they didn't heed the warning. But those of us that are saved in heaven, we won't remember them. The Bible says the smoke of their torment will rise up forever and ever. But we won't even understand what it is because we'll be in a new heaven and a new earth. If you're here this morning and you're lost, don't wait. Don't wait. He's not going to be rejected forever. Soon we'll pass away, or the future events will come. Either way, don't wait. Time is short. My Heavenly Father, we've got a lot of work to do here in La Crosse and still around the world. Help us, God, I pray, to warn these people of what's coming. And do your will here. And Lord, if there's one lost among us this morning, may they come to that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand this morning. If you're here,